Hey guys, we're back with episode 24 of Star Wars Year by Podcast, exclusive to the Steel Wars and Blue Harvest Patreon pages. However, this episode is divisible by three, and as Steel has established, that means it's an all-access episode. So, hey everybody.
Three is the magic number. Yes, it is. Three's a family. And Star Wars is all about family.
Yep. Skywalkers and the Palpatines.
Ah, no, I was thinking about the bridges.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Fair enough.
When I had Sal on my shoulder there. And, all right, so please introduce me, host.
Oh, and I'm Halls from Blue Harvest, and with me, this is my wonderful co-host. I haven't got to talk to him in a little while. Things have been kind of crazy. It's my buddy, Steel Saunders.
Hey, Hawes. Hey, everyone. Hey, buddy. And we're putting this up on May the 4th. So may the 4th be with everyone.
Yes. Six-year anniversary of Blue Harvest.
I thought you were going to say of the Force.
No, no, no. It's much older than 6 years.
Six-year anniversary of the Bearded Force.
There you go. There you go. I could go with that.
Now, Pauls.
Yes, sir.
As you and many of our viewers and listeners know, in the Star Wars Year by Podcast podcast, we go through the Star Wars Year by Year book, page by page. Sometimes it's not year by year. Sometimes it's month by month because some of these years are loaded. Hey, listen. Before Star Wars existed, you could get through a decade in one episode. But we are at the tail end of 1983, the blessed release year of
Return of the Jedi.
Star Wars Episode XI. Is it XI? VI? I don't know.
VI. XI.
VI. VI! My favorite, Return of the Jedi. I'm a Vi guy.
Who knew? Everybody knew.
I'm a Vi guy, and I'm. I've got to give you much props for the viewers. You've worn a very special T-shirt. It looks like maybe a Hong Kong release of Return of the Jedi T-shirt, something like that. What?
Yeah, I think it is Hong Kong. This is from Celebration Chicago.
No way. That's sick.
Yeah.
That is a good use of the license force.
It is. It was the one T-shirt that was the material and design that I enjoyed from all the T-shirts they offered.
I'm glad you found a material you enjoy.
Buddy, I'm real weird about that. You should have seen me in that Celebration store touching the shirts. Like, nope, that doesn't work for me. And Jesse was like, but it's got the Mandalorian on it. I was like, wrong material.
Have you touched this thing lately?
Yeah, for real.
All righty. Shall we get stuck into it with July and the Jedi Adventure Centers? Oh, I should just say, I'll just give everyone a preview. Ooh, that horse up on the screen. These are the things that we've got coming.
Oh, and for the sickos, our Catherine Nee following along,
page 112. Page 112. Happy May the 4th to Catherine Nee. Or it might be May the 5th, depending on when she watches, because she's different time, you know.
Right, right.
Yeah. I don't know. Wait there. If I click on this. Oh, actually, I'll do something else first. Do you want to get in the mood?
Yep. Oh, yeah, buddy.
You want to get in the mood?
Yeah.
All right, let's get in the mood. And let's get this bad boy up. Just to get us in the vibe, in the mood, I've picked out some banging video clips.
Oh, yeah, you were telling me about that.
And I haven't watched. I watched like the first 10 seconds of this one, and then I was like, I can't watch these. without horse. But this is just a news report on Return of the Jedi, I believe from Canada.
Yeah.
Now, listen, you can see the first reporter. She's just in casual dress, right? Her partner on the show, his head is...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's more... It looks more like him than Bespin Luke Skywalker does. So just get set. All right,
I'm ready.
Star Wars phenomenon is bigger than ever. The Return of the Jedi is now sweeping the continent with long lineups that started days before the film even opened and record-breaking earnings on its very first day.
Luke Skywalker has jumped from the entertainment page to the front page of North America's newspapers. You can't escape from Star Wars mania. Everybody's talking about it. Millions are going to see it.
Oozing with personality.
Return of the Jedi.
Just in time for summer, everyone's favorite space warriors have returned to set things straight in the galaxy.
There's some bizarre footage I've just panned up to in, like, I don't know if it's in their parliament or what's going on here, but...
Cultural phenomenon and has become part of our vocabulary.
The only thing the president didn't tell us last night was that the evil empire was about to launch the Death Star again.
Oh, got him!
It has also been co-opted by the news media and...
Bang! Pow! He was sitting on that one.
He was waiting. You could tell he was waiting. He thought of that the night before, and he was like, oh, he lost sleep that night. Oh, I can't wait to say it.
You watch him. He's looking around for the laughs before he's gotten to the punchline. That's how confident he is. Check this bad boy out.
Part of our vocabulary.
The only thing the president didn't tell us last night was that the evil empire was about to launch the Death Star against the United States.
And the guy behind him doesn't even react. Just keeps writing.
Star Wars reference. Star Wars reference. So that just gets us primed up. But Hawes, take us into the Jedi
Adventure Centers.
Thank you. I was trying to pull up the page while I was like, I'm gonna have to look down to read what that is. But here we go. Hit us up, Hawes.
130 Jedi Adventure Centers are sent out to malls across the U.S. Devised by distributor 20th Century Fox to promote the release of Return of the Jedi, each center is 91 kilograms, 200 pounds, modular walkthrough displays that fills a 2.5 meter.
Hoss, can I just pull you up there? So 1983, the Return of the Jedi Center, the Adventure Center, weighed 200 pounds. What's the conversion with inflation to now?
Oh, I'm not quite sure, buddy.
Okay, sorry. Could not resist.
And features three separate activity areas, a Jedi Hall of Fame, photo center, and a communication center. It is the most ambitious movie promotion Fox has ever staged at shopping venues.
And would never be topped.
Man, I wish I could have checked this out.
Dude, the Jedi Hall of Fame.
buddy, there's only going to be like three people in that Hall of Fame in 1983.
They're going to be overlooking some big names.
Yeah, I know. There's no Mace Windu listed, no Ki-Adi Mundi.
Yeah, well, you know, it's people that watch the prequel trilogy. It's like, oh, where's Ahsoka Tano?
Oh, yeah, or Qui-Gon Jinn.
People in here are like, where's Mace Windu?
Yeah, I mean...
I tell you who should be in the Jedi Hall of Fame. Fake Mace Windu.
Fake Mace Windu.
Oh, come on, pause.
Fake Mace Windu.
Fake fan is what I'm... why'd that go to the next thing? You don't know fake Mace Windu?
Is this another thing like Big Luke and Little Luke?
Wait there. Come on, buddy. I'm fake fan. That's what you are.
Well, I know who Revan is.
Oh! Damn! That's below the belt, horse. That is Star Wars fandom, like the core of it, is knowing that. All right. Let's get this bad boy up there. Man, big on the images. So, when in The Phantom Menace, don't know if you've seen it.
I have.
So, well, this photo has got everything for you that I'm about to bring up. When all the Jedi arrive on Naboo.
Oh, yeah. The guy in the background that is not Samuel L. Jackson.
Is definitely not Samuel L. Jackson. It's Ki-Adi.
It sure is.
Ki-Adi, behind you. It's not Mace Windu. It's an imposter. Turn around! Turn your big shaft around!
It kind of looks like he's purposely not looking at him. Like, don't make eye contact. Don't make this weird.
I tell you who knows something up. That's Sheev. Palpatine. Look at the smile on his face.
Just can't trust him.
He's like, ha ha!
I brought fake Mace Windu with me. Nobody will notice.
Should have kept the fake one, buddy, because... the real one didn't do much for your complexion, I've got to tell you.
He sure didn't.
Man, you reckon that the Tatooine sun ages you after a couple of decades? What about one Arvo with Mace Windu? Damn. But I don't even know why we started talking about fake.
Jedi Hall of Fame.
The Jedi Hall of Fame. All right, Tangio.
Happens. Hey, man.
I have no knowledge of this Jedi Adventure deal.
No, this is the first time I've ever heard of it. Ah. And like the picture doesn't show.
The first time you've ever heard of it?
Yeah.
Really?
Scoops. Hey, everybody, it's the first time I've ever heard of it. Breaking news.
Look at that.
Hashtag the Bad Batch.
Scoopos. Good to see. No one expected a scoop, but it's a May the 4th miracle.
Hey, man.
You know, you're finding out 38 years too late. But, if anyone's ever been, please.
Oh, I would love to hear. I wish we had some better pictures of it because the one picture that's in the book doesn't.
Are you having a go at me?
No, I'm just saying, like, I wish there were better pictures in the book. Nothing against you, buddy. Come on now.
Thanks. Thank you so much. I tried to find a video of it or something, and that's how I found that that video I showed you before.
But okay.
Yeah. It's Jedi Hall of Fame Photo Center. Communication center. How that's evolved now. You know those like Johnny Rockets burger mm-hmm. places?
Mm-hmm.
There's one on Melrose around the corner that isn't, it's not Johnny Rockets anymore. And it just, it's sort of, now it's a permanent sort of restaurant, but it used to just be pop-ups for all this stuff. And they would do, like, you know, the hyper, extension of this. They did a Twin Peaks pop-up for the release.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And they,
yeah.
And they did up the interior, like
the diner from
the diner. Mm-hmm. And then the one that really got me, the Peach Pit.
Oh, from 90210.
Oh yeah.
Did you go?
I didn't go. I didn't like buy food, but we got photos out the front.
Oh yeah. All right.
Come, buddy. Baller on a budget, buddy.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
But I got to say that's that one series of whatever it was, BH90. I don't know what it was, but when they brought back with like, and it had Kelly and all that, like the actual actresses, that was a masterpiece.
I never saw it. I remember hearing you talk about it though.
Hey, not to tange too hard, but they play themselves trying to get a remake of 90210 on the air.
Is this the Wes Craven's new nightmare?
Yes! Of... Yes!
Ooh, oh, I don't know, buddy.
So good. Mm. So good. Let's go to... Got this. Bang. Death Star Battle. What month is this? Is this still in July?
Mm-hmm.
On the Atari. Woo! Not that I think I rented this game when I was a bit older. I rented it from the video shop.
Mm-hmm.
And because Atari was sort of like a dying or dead system, they were very, I think I only had to pay them like $1. And then I could just come back and swap the cartridges whenever I wanted because no one else was using it. But anyway, Death Star Battle, Star Wars, Return of the Jedi, Death Star Battle is released by Parker Brothers, the Atari 2600. Vroom, vroom. Of course, my version and many versions featured wood paneling.
Yes, they had that one. And then, you know, there's the all black plastic version.
Not my Atari.
Well, a cool little Star Wars fact about it. That has since become known as the Vader model.
Interesting. For the Atari 2600, set in the Endor system, the game offers players the chance to pilot the Millennium Falcon against many TIE fighters before entering the second Death Star's main reactor to destroy the battle station. And, we have got some sweet art there with some TIE interceptors taken on the Millennium Falcon. Butthaws, I promised you video clips.
Oh, I was going to say, I might have to request an audible, like an extra video clip. It'll be super easy to find, but I'm interested to see this one.
We have got an advert coming up. Let's just... Chrome tab, Return of the Jedi. And a few of these videos that I've got I've never even come across this channel before, but it's Mr. Vintage Star Wars. I'm going to give him a like. I'm going to give him a subscribe. How do we go? Yep. Say.
Hey. All right. I'm going to check him out. I like this idea, Mr. Vintage Star Wars.
Now, so this is the Return of the Jedi Atari Death Star Battle video game. And just... On any of these, if you don't hear the sound, just holler out. But
okay,
it should be good.
In a galaxy far, far away, you are needed as a rebel pilot. Become one in the Return of the Jedi Death Star Battle
Home. Oh.
Whoa! Your mission: fly Millennium Falcon through enemy force field while battling TIE interceptors.
I hope you won.
Destroy the Death Star before its completion. Save the rebels. Play Return of the Jedi Death Star Battle from Parker Brothers. If you can stand the pressure.
Oh!
Hey, that's not a half bad X-Wing costume for a Atari commercial. I got to be honest. X-Wing pilot costume.
What about if you can stand the pressure?
If you can stand the pressure. All right,
it was the '80s. It's the Gordon Gekko generation.
Mm-hmm.
But
you know, I have to say, of the Atari Star Wars releases, this is probably, in my opinion, at least the best one.
Hey, just when you watch this clip, look. This is the amazing thing about it. It's hard to tell the gameplay from the movie footage. Watch. Oh, it's seamless. Which is which? Which is which?
Oh, he blew up the Death Star. Look at him. Hey, good do me a favor, buddy. So yeah. I believe this game also came out. This is my favorite vintage Star Wars video game commercial, and I believe this game came out in 85 as well. Look up Star Wars Atari Arcade. And it was the port of the Star Wars arcade game. And you want to find the commercial for it. So, like, as you see there, you kind of remember what the actual arcade game looked like. Yes, this is it.
Whoa. For those just listening to the audio, there is this very angry redhead looking at it's like Hell's version of Ronald McDonald. All right, well, let's go to Ronnie Burr. Wait, there, I'll get the
great in the arcade. Star Wars. It's great in the arcade.
Whoa! Whoa!
TIE fighters! Fireballs! Coming right at me! Watch the laser towers! Aim for the towers! Use the force! Coming too fast! It's late! It's late! My shields are gone! All right! Stop going in!
Oh, some game, huh?
Some game! In a galaxy of video games, there is only one. Star Wars, the arcade.
I love it.
Oh my stars. That makes me not want to play it. It seems really stressful. I thought when they then cut the camera to the lady working in the shop, I thought she was going to get like splashed with bits of him when he exploded.
Like scanners or something?
Yes! Oh, that was... These like early 80s commercials, they get your heart beaten?
Sure do.
Oh my stars. I gotta tell you, we're just bypassing the also in 1983 that we always end on.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, I'm pumped.
I took a little glimpse at it and it looks cool.
Oh,
I see exactly what you're talking about now.
Oh.
We've talked about them before.
Oh.
A little sizzle.
Oh, my stars. All right, hit us with Rolling Stone. Pause.
No month, so I assume this is also in July. Summer, it says. Carrie Fisher, Darth Vader, and Ewok, a Gamorrean guard, are on the cover of Rolling Stone. In the interview inside, Lucas reiterates his intent to take off at least 2 years' work. All the prequel stories exist, Lucas says. As for Luke Skywalker's adventures beyond Jedi, I have a tiny notebook full of notes on that. If I'm really ambitious, I could proceed to figure out what would happen to Luke.
Man. Microscopic, biotic, brainy brain things.
I want to get a hold of that tiny little notebook.
Man, they published the book. Release the book!
Yeah.
So we've got Rolling Stone here. This is one of the most bizarre Star Wars photo shoots. We've got Carrie Fisher in her Jabba's Prisoner outfit on a beach, sunbaking it up. Darth Vader has brought the boombox. There's a Gamorrean guard with a beach ball. And then there's an Ewok just in the mix. Who's the hottest out of these three characters on the day? Ooh. Darth Vader, the Ewok, or Gamorrean Guard? Who's feigning on set?
I kind of think the Ewok, man. That's a lot of fur. I can't imagine any of those costumes are particularly comfortable out on the beach, though.
I would probably say the Ewok because he's smaller, mm-hmm. or she's smaller, and there's less liquid. Like they could, they could.
I see what you're saying.
They could sweat it out quicker per capita, per gland, per will. Fixated on that. But yeah, such a bizarre photo shoot. There's other photos in this collection, but it's like in retrospect, a bummer that, you know, Carrie Fisher like revealed that she was not
comfortable with that whole get up and
having to like fit into it and stuff. So it's sort of it's full of joy on the page.
I've actually got a copy of this somewhere.
How dare you?
Hey man, you come across these things in a antique store or a thrift shop, 1983 issue of Rolling Stone with Star Wars on the cover.
Who can blame you? All right, let's hit up. In September, we get the second Lando novel, Lando Calrissian and the Flame Wind of Olsen by L. Neil Smith, is published by Del Rey. Lando and Vuffy Ra must fly the Falcon, the Kenner Millennium Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
Through the Flame Wind, a massive stream of radiation that is an annual phenomenon in the Ossian system. And then at the same time, November 12th, Hawes, if you're a Lando fan, the back end of 83, that's your time to shine. Not only did he shoot out of the blast of the second Death Star, but dropping back-to-back books, September and November, chill out. I can barely get out my Star Wars fanzines in time. But of course, I love these covers for their use of the Kenner Millennium Falcon as source material.
I love that in the Flame Wind of Ossian, he's wearing his General Lando getup in that picture. I love that Lando costume from Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, it's dope. I think from memory, when I was at Lucasfilm, it was that the Lando Calrissian in the Star Cave of Thorn Bocca that I saw the actual painting of. And it was like a movie poster size painting.
Yeah, with all the negative space because the title and stuff isn't on there.
Yeah. Oh, my stars. I had to excuse myself at one point when I was there because the other people were doing interviews and I was just waiting around. So I said, I'm just going to go to the restroom.
Pause. And did you just go wandering?
Buddy, I didn't need to go to the restroom, I got to tell you. And I walked some halls. I may have gone. Oh, sorry. Sorry, concept art department. I'm just looking for the bathroom. Oh,
What's that
tiny Yoda? What's that about?
Did you really go into the concept art department?
No. You'd have to have
a swipey card or something.
Yeah.
Man, if you had, and this would be the first time I heard that story, man.
This is how misinformation works on YouTube, Pause.
It sure is. You know there's going to be a podcaster Steele Saunders sneaks into Lucasfilm concept art department.
The shill sneak in.
That Melbourne sign, buddy. That's new-ish.
Oh, it's a skateboard deck.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, it's... have you ever heard of like chocolate skateboards, the brand chocolate?
No, I haven't. That's not one I'm familiar with.
Oh, okay. Do you know Girl Skateboards?
I do.
All right. Well, their other company is called Chocolate.
Okay. Okay.
And their font is like that. And they did a few in a movie, one of their videos, they made ones for different American towns that they were skateboarding in. And so Stussy in Australia sort of did a tribute to it and put out a Melbourne one.
That's cool.
About 15 years ago. So it's one of my prized skateboard collectibles that reminds me of the mother country. You know what I'm saying?
That's awesome.
Hey, is it your turn or my turn?
Well, you did the Lando novel, so I guess I should go next. Do you want me to jump over to October? Heck yeah. Mad Jedi. Mad Magazine features the satire Star Wars rehashed.
Oh, damn!
Written by Dick, that's right, DiBartolo, and illustrated by Mort Drucker, the satire confirms that Darth Vader is a sadist,
more like
a mathematician.
More like Fart Drucker, am I right?
That's right, man.
And his Dick's one's already done for us. So.
Yeah, that was a layup.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, that's despite them, you know, doing the whole rehash of the Jedi thing, that's a pretty cool cover.
With B.A. Baracus under the mask of Darth Vader and the trio is very shocked and Wicket. Woof. Look at that Wicket pause.
That's nightmare fuel. Can you imagine? Imagine that scene in Return of the Jedi when, you know, Leia crashes the speeder bike and she's hanging out and that steps out of the woods.
He's been knocked out.
And
hot damn. But yes, as I tweeted out, what me yubnub is the appropriate deal.
What's going on with Luke's blaster? I'm trying to figure. They've done some shenanigans with the barrel on his blaster. And I can't figure out what's going on.
Let's zoom in through the magic of.
Yeah. You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't know what's on it. I can sure see it.
What is that supposed to be? You know the artist that did this.
No. It's a Swiss Army knife.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's got a can opener and a corkscrew.
Yeah, okay. You're right.
Wow. The layers of the comedy.
True. Man, can't take much more of that.
I'm still salty because we've talked about this before. I used to take it, you know, like the Mad Magazine, some of the barbs they took at my, you know, at the Star Wars franchise. I loved the Star Wars issues, but when I felt like they made a joke that overstepped, come on, Mad.
Yep.
Let's hit. What's going on here? Wait there. Should work now. Classic Creatures.
There we go.
November 21st. Classic Creatures, Return of the Jedi airs on CBS. Directed by Robert Gunet, the documentary about the making of Jedi is hosted by Carrie Fisher and Billy Dee Williams and features interviews with numerous cast and crew members.
I've got to try to track this down because this is definitely a piece of Star Wars like documentary footage or behind the scenes stuff that I've definitely never seen.
Buddy, I am like your Star Wars genie. I am your Siri. Steely. Hey, Steely. Track this down. Here it goes.
I dream of Steely.
Via Ben Phillips. Now, what I recall of this was, I'm not sure who wanted to be there, who was excited to be there, but if neither of them wanted to be there in this documentary as host, Billy Dee Williams and Carrie Fisher, Billy Dee Williams did a far better job of covering it up.
Hey, so is this the same thing as from Star Wars to Jedi, the making of a saga?
Oh, I've got the wrong one. Here you go. Bag. Okay. Oh, wait. So I've got to reopen it. Thank you. I've just got to open the wrong window.
My bad. I didn't mean to gum.
Oh, no. Because now... Yeah, classic creatures. Yeah, this way we don't play the wrong one. Bang. All right, let's just have a little pee.
Let's just watch the whole thing, buddy. Let's just hang out.
Adventure. Special effects. These were the trademarks of Star Wars. Now, filmmaker George Lucas has turned his attention to an area that has long fascinated moviegoers, monsters and creatures. In Return of the Jedi, the Star Wars galaxy is occupied by a menagerie of creatures, the likes of which have never before seen the light of a movie screen. The Star Monster, Jabba the Hutt.
The Star Monster, Jabba the Hutt.
Gum and villainy. He's not unlike the monsters that frightened early moviegoers.
Now, Carrie, I just don't know if she's putting her heart into this.
Yeah, it's all right. I got to say, that furry jacket, that brown and fur jacket that George was wearing at the beginning, that is a good jacket. I'm pretty sure my buddy Will has a jacket that's very similar to that.
His her was salacious.
Teddy bears. When George Lucas
with the work Ewoks.
The Star Wars trilogy over 10 years ago, no one suspected that an endearing little creature, something like a teddy bear, would play such a large role in bringing a...
Do you find her hair being like this unnerving? Because
it's so un-Leia, right? Yes! Like, yeah.
How dare she?
I can't take my eyes off of it. Like, all I hear is like it way in the distant background, her being like, teddy bears. And I just can't. I'm staring at her hair, and there's like this woom, 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 woom sound playing in my head.
About the defeat of the Empire. Not even George. He always planned that the fateful battle against the technological might of Vader's forces would take place on and around the green moon of Endor. But he thought the inhabitants of that moon would be Wookiees.
Dropping Star Wars knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Oof!
Take that to the schmodown.
Chewie to his friends. Chewie evolved into a sophisticated creature.
What, Chewie? All right, I gotta find some
master mechanic.
Billy Day.
He's no longer the primitive that Lucas wanted to crush the Empire. Chewie was too intelligent.
Ah!
Oh, here we go.
Not sure what we'll be sitting next to.
I remember this being amazing.
Odd co-pilots in Star Wars. I mean, oof. Han Solo had a Wookiee.
Put his hat on.
Flew with a what?
I do not like 9-9 without the hat.
General Akbar is a cross, I guess, between a lobster man and a creature from the Black Lagoon. A good creature, Akbar. Proof that ugly is not necessarily bad.
Oh, that's a veiled compliment.
Now this guy, he's ugly and bad.
He's ugly and bad.
My eyes, Artu, help! Quickly, Artu!
Salacia says he's depraved because he's deprived. But some creatures have accepted and enjoyed the way they look.
Enough of this serious talk. I'd like to regale you now with... Oh,
that's Admiral Akbar!
I'm ugly as sin. Because beautiful's out ugly's in. If you're ugly like me.
God, there's going to be like a backlash to the conditions on the set here.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
You're in good company. Because there's millions of Vasu.
If you're just listening, it's the puppet of Admiral Akbar doing singing that song. Delightful. That is one of the classic documentaries, and
I have to check it out.
This one's just on Mr. Anderson 4 0s and then a 1. But I am pretty sure this is on Disney Plus.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to look into that.
I know there's some
a lot of Disney Plus lately.
There's some good little bonus things in the movie extras.
Okay. Like
each different movie. So check that out. Disney Plus. Only on the internet. Is that right? I think it is. All right. Let's bang up to after Endor. Is this me, Hawes?
No, you just did classic creatures.
All right. Well, this is how dare I even step in?
Hey, man, I didn't want to say anything.
All right, sorry.
November 22nd, Star Wars number 81 ships. Cover date March.
Oh. Which March?
March 1984.
Shouldn't this be 1984 then? Skip this one.
Written by Mary Jo Duffy and drawn by Ron Frenz, Tom Palmer, and Tom Mandrake. Jawas of Doom.
Bum, bum, bum.
That's a good band name. It's the first Star Wars story set after the events of Return of the Jedi. The Jawas discover an unconscious Boba Fett in the desert and mistake the armored bounty hunter for a derelict droid.
How dumb are these little brown cloaked eyeballs?
Meanwhile, Han Solo returns to Tatooine, unaware that Boba Fett, last seen falling into the maw of the Sarlacc and Jedi, is still alive. After Solo confronts Fett again, Fett appears to meet his end a second time.
Oh, God. See, that was the thing. That's why I knew Boba Fett was safe in The Mandalorian. Because you don't bring him back to kill him.
At least not away. Oh, right away, I guess.
I guess they did kill Darth Maul, but I think if you bring someone back, just don't even
around for a while.
Well, it's like, well, why are you going to care the second time?
Yeah, I get that. But I mean, he's also, you know, just a normal dude. He's got to die at some point. I mean,
yeah,
I
but you don't have to cover him. Just like you know, you don't find out when the bartender dies.
I just love that just, you know, 6 months after Return of the Jedi came back, there's already, like, people bringing Boba Fett back.
Just couldn't wait.
It's too good of a design to let go, man. And that cover's really cool. Do you have a picture of the cover to show everybody?
You've called me out, Hawes.
Well, we'll just cut that out.
Wait, I might be able to zoom in on a photo up here.
It's pretty close to, like, if I didn't know better, I'd see that cover and think that it was maybe like a Dark Horse era comic cover.
It is good. Hey, I got to tell you, I've seen worse.
I've definitely seen worse.
Jawas of Doom, huh? And I do like that Boba Fett is like the pose that he's in, like it's like the background of Cloud City is there. Like it's just such a like Boba Fett on Cloud City pose.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all of this it takes a very like Star Wars EU novel approach where it just seems like they recreated, you know, repainted different scenes. Like, you know, if you look at the Heir to the Empire cover, like Endor Leia is there and things like that. They just sort of took stills from the movies and made paintings of them.
Yeah, Han Solo and Chewbacca are definitely on Endor
mm-hmm.
in these pictures. But
I don't know about Leia though. I mean, she's got the indoor hair.
Yeah, they didn't do Leia much justice.
Mm-mm, no.
Yeah. So Boba lives again and again and again and again.
Love it. That's my kind of Star Wars storytelling right there. First mobile phones.
Down the bottom, yeah?
Well, yeah. Wow. Microsoft Word launched.
Thank God. All righty. Sorry, just doing getting things in order. No December cut. Ends with a sweet Christmas gift. Saga documentary. From Star Wars to Jedi, the making of a saga is broadcast on PBS. Poops. Written and directed by Richard Schickel and narrated by Mark Hamill. He was the Joker. The documentary film is an overview of the entire Star Wars trilogy with numerous interviews and behind-the-scenes clips from the movies. And I know, I remember, Hawes, sometimes at some point in the 80s, if you bought the three Star Wars movies, you'd get a fourth cassette, and this bad boy would be in there.
That's that obviously, like, I was 9 months old when this came out or something, so I didn't watch it on TV, but I definitely rented the VHS of this
documentary. Ah, the rent.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. So sweet. I do have a clip or the entire thing.
Let's just watch it all, buddy. Sit back.
All right, let's see what goes on here. Do your thing, Mark Hamill. Narrate. Narrate like you've never narrated before. Whoa!
Wow!
Hot damn! What is this? The CBS Fox video? Does that noise bring back memories? Goosebumps?
It does. There's also. Do you remember the? I think it was TriStar that had the horse.
Oh, like, yes.
Galloping through like space or something with certain music behind it. That one always reminds me. And then the New Line Cinema one, because that's what was before all the Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
Bloody hell. Stick to Star Wars. May the 4th. This one. I love that it's so overzealous. But it fits the occasion. Because you're like, yeah, man, I'm about to watch some Star Wars. I've put the cassette in. I've ejected the last cassette. Haven't put that away. I've just left it on the ground. Let's be honest.
Didn't rewind it either.
Bang. Bang this cassette in. Found the remote control. Press play. And then...
burr, burr, burr.
We get this. What is going on? Oh, natural gas leak. Excellent.
Wait, in your house?
No.
Okay.
Woo. All right. Here we go.
If I was a professional fighter,
wait. Or
you nailed it. You got it right. It's the CBS Fox home video.
Look at this in the background. What comes up? This is how classy a tape we're about to watch is. Ready? It's not just a logo. Oh, damn it. Oh, I should point out that if you're watching this, the sound goes on and off and you can hear this bit, it's because we've been copyright striked for this noise.
Oh, man, if there is a copyright strike on a 30-something-year-old CBS Fox home video...
Well, George Lucas, he sued Dr. Dre.
Yeah. I think that's a little different than video in the 80s.
Do you know why? Because things ain't the same for gangsters.
I've heard that.
But can you see what's happening with this logo?
Is it in an asteroid field?
Nah, dude. It's turning into a marble monument.
Oh, that's classy.
Look at it.
I see it now. Dang, that's tight.
CBS Sports logo. Video presents a collector's preview.
What the bloody hell is this?
Uh-oh, hold on.
A long time ago.
Here we go.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Again, if the sound goes out. Talking over this.
Yeah,
oh, wait, this is too new. What the hell's going on here? All right. No, why is this all new? Why does this look good?
On such a complex project.
Here we go.
One job too many, according to George. George co-wrote The Empire Strikes Back, oversaw pre- and post-production, and Irvin Kershner directed...
Oh, here's a good bit. Salacious Crumb. I mean, Slice Noodles.
...stage. His legs were connected to hers by rod.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So she could duplicate his steps precisely. Her microphone was also controlled from below.
This song is so dark.
It is.
This in turn controlled movement.
See, English!
Which was connected to the mic by a wire that would be invisible in the final film.
You could see this like in Beverly Hills Cop 3. This song.
Yeah, yeah.
When he goes to the gym.
Her song was written in English but translated into Hatties, Java's official.
Oh! Remo!
Oh, look at his fingers. Oh, those fingers, man.
Oh, I've seen too much!
A man, a man.
They're getting set for one of those iconic ILM. Look at all the things we made photos.
Love those.
How sick is that? That
is so good.
That's a great bit of.
This is up there as one of, if not the best, Star Wars original trilogy documentaries, I think.
The one that came with the DVD is pretty good.
Empire of Dreams, I think, is the best. Yeah. I could hear an argument from Star Wars to Jedi, but I personally think Empire of Dreams is the best.
Empire of Dreams. Now, Horse.
Yes, sir.
Are we up to the also-ins?
Let's do it.
Right there. I will hand it over to you while I compose myself.
Also, in 1983, merchandise. They had a Return of the Jedi roller skates made by Brookfield Athletic.
I do have to say, not that pair, but back in Australia, I do have a pair of Wicket the Ewok roller skates.
That's cool.
I never had them when I was little. I just sort of...
You got them like later in life.
Yeah. They didn't fit. That was one of the things that Jackie was like, but why are you buying? It's weird that you've got these little girls' roller skates now. And I'm like, oh, little boy. Like, you know, it's fine.
One of my favorite, this is good plug for anybody that's listening that's not on the Steel Wars Patreon. If you're listening on Blue Harvest or watching on YouTube, one of my favorite From the Vault Steel Wars episodes is when you and Jackie are in France, I believe.
Yeah.
And you guys go to like a flea market or something.
Yeah.
And she calls you over to show you something thinking you will think it's stupid. Like, and it's a Star Wars car track with the little Ewoks on the speeder bikes and stuff.
Oh.
And she's like, you're going to think this is ridiculous. And you can hear in your voice you're going like, no, I don't think this is ridiculous at all. It's early on when I started learning your famous phrase, a good use of the license. It's one of my favorite Steel Wars moments.
Oh my God. God, I ate a lot of good food that week. But that race, it was like a scale electric, but it was speeder bikes and
You know, I've actually tried to find that, like, just to see what it looked like, and I can't find it. Now, I haven't done a ton of searching for it, but...
Yeah, when I looked, it was on eBay and stuff.
Okay.
Because that was like, I'd never seen it before, which was just bizarre. So when I was there, I looked up to see what the online price was to see if it was a deal or super expensive. And it was, I felt like it was going for a fair price.
In France or online?
Just everywhere. It was sort of just like, maybe it was like $150, which, you know, but I would have got, I just had nowhere ever to set it up. And I didn't just want to get it and leave it in a box.
Yeah, that's the same. You need a fair amount of room for one of those things to set it up right and mess around with it.
To lay some track.
Yeah. So besides the roller skates, we got the metal lunchbox made by King Sealy Thermos. I definitely saw this lunchbox a lot. When I was a kid, was very jealous of kids that had that metal Return of the Jedi lunchbox.
And it features Luke, an artist's rendition of just when he grabs the blaster in Jabba's palace. And there's a Gamorrean Klaatu. He's on the hunt. Squidface is up the back chilling. He's not getting amongst that. No siree, Bob. And I never really remember anyone having this when I was little. But I do remember it being overpriced in many vintage stores.
Yeah, anytime you come across these metal lunch boxes, you'll even come across them, they're all rusted shut and stuff. People seem to want way too much for them.
Yeah, I think because it crosses genre of collectibles. Like, people just collect pop culture, you know, 70s. Yeah. Which is bad with these vintage bootleg Star Wars decks I want from Plan B. It crosses over with Star Wars collecting with one of the most expensive periods of skateboards to collect.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal, buddy.
The early 90s, because skateboarding was so small and
they didn't make a lot of each release, so
nah.
You know, it's in super limited. You want to do a heist? We could go on a heist to Rancho Obi-Wan. I'll go with you, buddy. I'll be the driver.
There's a place closer, Santa Cruz Board Shop.
Okay, let's go.
They've got, oh my God, I would.
We might need a couple of other people. We need to, you know, we need to get the crew together like in Solo, but I'll be the driver.
Oh, dude, we need a crew. They've got like this board collection in that shop of about 300. Like, it's just jaw-dropping, the errors. It's like they've got all your favorite action figures in the last 40 years in packages up on their wall.
Oh, that's crazy.
But they're skateboard decks.
Yeah, yeah. And then the big one from the also end that we've talked about before, that if you are a longtime Steel Wars listener, you'll know the story behind these. Kellogg's cereal promotions from Australia.
Breakfasters
rub off the silver spot on the decoder disc to see if they have won one of 2,620 Tall Toys Return of the Jedi prizes.
Now, Tall Toys was Kenner.
Right, that's who did the Kenner stuff in Australia, right? Yeah, kind of like Palatoy was in the UK.
Yeah, so you're scratching for, you know, like B-Wings and AT-STs, speeder bikes. And these came in cereal. And we must have ate a lot of cereal.
Because you had a bunch of them?
A ton. Like, at least eight. And I surely I've told you the story of how I tried to wear them to the Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had, I think, sticky taped them maybe onto a hoodie sleeves. And because I was getting into my Star Wars mood, and Mum said, "Oh, you are not leaving the house with those things sticky taped to you." And that, She doesn't remember it, but obviously it still stings.
It stuck with you, yeah.
Now, this one I haven't watched Hawes, but old mate Mr. Vintage Star Wars.
Uh-oh, all right.
Has come through with the goods yet again. He has got the commercial for the Dakota Ring.
Oh.
Can you believe it?
We got it. Yeah, I can't wait to see this.
All right.
Now from a galaxy far away comes Kellogg's new Dakota game. In specially marked packs of Kellogg's Rice Bubbles and Corn Flakes, there's a Star Wars Return of the Jedi.
Oh.
Rub the silver spot.
Oh.
Name, like Luke Skywalker or evil Darth Vader. And you could be an instant winner sweepstakes entry. Over 2,000 Tall Toys Return of the Jedi.
Ah!
Kellogg's new Dakota game in packs of Kellogg's Corn Flakes and Rice Bubbles. May the Force make you an instant winner.
That's pretty cool. Do you remember that commercial?
Not really. I remember that logo. But I don't remember the commercial. If I would have lost my... I loved anything like that. But seeing... They had a picture... Oh, this. Just seeing that picture, that is such an indelible Return of the Jedi photo for me. Because it was just this random picture that was, you know, not very well known.
You had it on a little disc, right? So
it was on the sleeve.
Yeah.
So I've seen them. They go for I remember all this stuff on the back. Oh.
Yeah, I think we looked them up on an episode of this, didn't we?
Oh, I remember all the points. See up there, it says like 500. Like at the Millennium Falcon, it says how many points you need to win.
Oh, so it's not like you scratch it off and it says you've won a Millennium Falcon. You scratch it off. That disc is worth a certain amount of points. You collect the discs.
Yeah, I think
turn them in for it. Oh, okay.
But I think they go for about $20 each, still in the plastic. You know how everything had to be in a plastic wrapper when you dropped it into the cereal? And I remember there was an early era of having to wait until we got down to that level in the cereal. And listen, through regular protest and just going to do it anyway, this rule was revoked.
Yeah, there was no waiting for the cereal prize. I remember those days. Oh, you got to wait till you get to it. Mm-mm. No, we're cracking into this, and I'm finding out what's in the cereal box.
Hell no. Hawes, brings us to the end of both this page and 1983.
It's all uncharted territory after this. We're going to hit some interesting stuff.
Dude, you've got to see this slide right there. Look at what is coming up. This is a quite a visual.
Oh my goodness. Look at that. We got some Battle for Caravan of Courage, Battle for Endor, Dark Empire, George Lucas with a lightsaber, Ewoks cartoons. We got some good stuff coming, buddy.
Lucas looks like he's got that lightsaber remote.
Yes.
Because it's so clean. It looks like that remote they put out in the 90s. And there's Teek, who's a cult classic. That Ewok picture of the animated Ewok is the colors on that
are so good.
That would make, like, and especially the shape that the pictures cropped, that would make a good skateboard graphic.
Well, you know what? It kind of reminds me of who was it that did sort of.
Actually, all these could be skateboard. Yeah. I should.
There was a company, you'll be more familiar with this than me, a Japanese apparel company that did like shirts, limited edition shirts within the last year or so.
Was it Uniqlo?
It was. That's it. I could see that Ewok image being on something like that too.
Yes, they put out some good stuff, but their t-shirts are not. I'm a bit finicky with you about the fabric, you know.
Well, and most of them were white t-shirts, and this fat guy don't wear white. Sorry, guys. You want to skip ahead?
No, it checks out.
Oh, yeah.
Get a black t-shirt on. Yeah, should we do our
patented random skip ahead?
Yeah. All right, do you want to go first? I'll put you on the...
Okay.
Wait there.
I'm not looking. I'm just going to open to a random page. 162. Ooh. Oh, buddy, this is some good stuff. Page 162. There's some good stuff and one thing that it ain't so great.
Oh,
this is some good stuff, right? Look at this.
Oh, my God. Hold it up, pause.
Okay, so we got the not-so-great thing, I would say, is the Bendham's 4-pack. But besides that, we've got Star Wars Galaxies cards and Tales of the Jedi comics from Dark Horse.
Dude, this page has got Tales of the Jedi, Star Wars Galaxy, Bendham's Rebel Assault video game.
Oh, yeah.
And Micro Machines.
Oh, my goodness. There's some good stuff.
All right. That's 1993.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
All right. What page are you skipping to, buddy?
Oh, my God. That was my 1984. No, wait.
1993.
It would have been 1994. Those things made their way to Australia and
a lot of the stuff on those two pages definitely play on my interests in Star Wars in a big way.
Have you done yet? You're going to do an opening of.
No, do you want to see the boxes?
Yes.
Let me go grab them real quick. Okay, yeah. I haven't done these yet. I'm going to be streaming it soon and putting it up on the Blue Harvest YouTube page, but I have a unopened, sealed Series 1 box of Star Wars Galaxy cards. And a Series 2. These were a little harder to find, a sealed box of Series 2.
Oh, I remember just seeing the sealed boxes in the store and just going, imagine getting the whole box.
So apparently, it should say, okay, so yeah, at least in Series 1, there should be two randomly inserted etched foil cards, which I opened several packs of these as a kid. Never got an etched foil.
I had quite a few.
And this doesn't say how many etched foils.
I think there was like six. There was like a six, and they were joined to make a...
Yeah, I know there, but I'm saying like, you know, on this box, it says that there's two in the box.
Ah, in the whole box, yeah.
Right, and then in Series 2, it doesn't say like how many are in the box. I imagine it's probably around the same.
I thought if you bought a box, you'd get them all.
You would think so, right? And I don't know. Well, that's what I'm interested to see when I start cracking these packs is if I end up making out with more than two foils.
Dude, I remember the card shop. Rosebud had three card shops, which is just like... and I remember exactly where I was on that street opposite the Rosebud Cinema where the card shop was, like getting back into my car and just getting a fix. Like a junkie, just sitting in the car. And then if I didn't like the cards, thinking about going in to buy another pack.
Buddy, I relate to that so hard. And I know for a fact as a kid, you know, I've got my allowance or whatever, because these came out when I was like 10, 11, right? Going in and being like, all right. Fast and the Furious. I'm going to pick up a pack of cards, save the rest of my money for later, right? Going to the car, opening them up, and being like, Mom, I hate to do it to you, but I got to go back inside real quick. Turning around and going right back inside and getting another pack.
That's the spirit. That is the spirit.
So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to checking these out, man. Oh, and interesting, people might be familiar, and Series 2, they're not, like, they took it out of circulation. It never made it into it, but Series 2 of Star Wars Galaxy cards are famous for having that Yoda card. That it was supposed to have that Yoda card that George Lucas requested that they take out of the set.
Got you. Got you. Pause. Thanks yes, so much for it's a commemoration. We have finished the original trilogy years.
We have, man. And now we're going to, like, before too long, Shadows of the Empire is right around the corner.
God, that's wishful thinking.
Yeah, man, that's not that far off.
Dude, it's like 10 years away.
Yeah, but that's not that, because it's not going to, we're not going to have to spend three episodes on 1987. You know what I mean? We'll fly through some of these years.
I got to tell you, plenty of action in 84. 84. That's
84 and 85 look kind of packed.
There's three pages, so. Oh, my God. There's some great droids coming up. Sweet action. Woo! I think we'll be seeing a lot of stuff that we've never seen before.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm really excited about the in-between years.
All right, Hawes. Thank you to our patrons. And if you want to become a patron, we've got... You can find out all the minutiae of what went on up until this point in Star Wars history from... Where do we start back here, Hawes?
Like the 1920s or something, right?
1914. They skipped through those. They barely acknowledge anything in the 30s. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Up until now, Hawes, let the good people of the internet know where they can track down your podcast.
You can find us. It's Blue Harvest, which I host with my buddy Will, and you can find it on pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. We release an episode every Friday night / Saturday morning whenever I get it up.
Excellent. You can follow me at Steel Wars on all the social media things. Download the podcast, follow us, or you're watching this, hit subscribe, hit like, algorithm it up, subscribe to the pod, reply to the tweets, like the photos. I don't know, do all that good stuff. And yeah, check out the Patreon. We've got a Robbo Report would have been up by now, new Robbo Report. We've got a new Page Wars, which has been up for about a week with King Tom breaking down the Alphabet Squadron Victory's Price. Hey, where do you stand on Geode, Hawes?
I like Geode. I'm still working my way through that book sort of slowly. I got distracted by podcasts for a while there, but I'm back to that book, and I do like Geode. He's a rock.
He could just be just behind you. He could just move into frame now. We'd never know how he got there.
Nope. Nah, I'd just be like, oh, check it out.
Geode. Classic Geode, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's up to his old tricks.
Yep.
Or is he? I don't know. All right, Hawes. I'm sure I will communicate with you on May the 4th.
Yes.
On some electronic forum. But have a good time. Enjoy your Star Wars. Oh, there'll be Bad Batch. We'll be Bad Batching it up.
Yeah. Finally, some new Star Wars to look for.
Oh, we'll have to do our phone call show.
Hey, man, if you want to do I'd be down. I would totally be down to do a... I'm wondering if the excitement level is going to be like a little less than it was for some of our Mandalorian phone calls.
Well, that's the experience. Follow.
Yeah.
Not everything can be Ignite the Green. You know what I'm saying?
No, man.
But, okay, we'll be back to do that on May the 4th.
Yeah. We'll see you guys then.
Wait, are you going to stay up and watch at 3 in the morning?
So... On May the 4th, I may not, because Well, actually, I don't know. It depends on what I have to do for work the next day. But the, because I think it moves to Fridays after that. Yeah. I'll probably stay up late for, you know, the following episodes, because I normally stay up kind of late on Thursday working anyway.
Okay. Excellent. All right. I'll talk to you on Tuesday, buddy. Today.
Sounds good. Today.
Hey, may that force be with you.
See you guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.